Good morning to everyone. So nice to see people gathered together to worship the Lord in these strange times that we are living. So glad to see some visitors among us. This church doesn't have a regular supported preacher at the moment, so various ones of us men are taking turns filling the pulpit. We don't coordinate these things as far as all the people preaching get together and decide what subjects we're going to. It just happens to be what it is when it comes along this way. But it just happens that this is another one that is a lesson that is derived from something that happened in real life. So it's a real story that I'm going to tell you, a true story. And undoubtedly, and I'm going to make some lessons, some applications from that story. In fact, I'm going to do that. This will be part A today, and I'm going to do part B next Sunday. Many of you will remember this. This happened back in 1987. Of course, some of you weren't alive in 1987, so this will not perhaps come to your mind. But as I tell this story, it will no doubt come to many of you will remember it. This happened in a little town in Texas. If I was to say the name Jessica McClure, would that mean anything to anybody? Or the name or the title Baby Jessica? Well, in October 16th, 1987, in Midland, Texas, there was a 18-month-old little girl, year and a half years old, the pride and joy of a very young married couple. They were both 18 years old at the time. Jessica, the child's name, was playing in the backyard, small backyard, with several of her young cousins, also very young. The 18-year-old mother stepped into the house for just a moment to answer the telephone. And when she returned, Jessica had disappeared. No sign of her. The other, I believe, two cousins were still in the yard, and the mother went running around frantically looking for Jessica. Well, when she stopped to catch her breath, the two little cousins were pointing at an abandoned well that was actually an 8-inch pipe. This 8-inch pipe that was sticking out of the ground just a few inches. And they were pointing at that hole, that deep, deep hole in the ground. And of course, the mother's heart sank when she went over to the hole and called her name, Jessica. And she said, "Mommy." She was down in that deep hole, dark, cold. Well, the mother first called the police. Two deputies showed up in their police car and observed the situation. And there didn't seem to be any easy solution to this problem because she was down deep in this well, this abandoned old well. Fortunately, there was no water in it. It had been abandoned for years. They didn't know what to do, so they called the sheriff, and he called the rescue squad in a local small hospital. They came, they all came. And the medical professionals there, seeing that this was going to be some ordeal to try to get her out of this hole, they began pumping oxygen down into the hole. They measured the depth from the mouth of the well down to where Jessica was, and found that she was 22 feet deep in an 8-inch pipe. Does anybody remember this? 1987. With flashlights, they discerned that one of her legs was straight up and the other one straight down. So imagine that position for days. And there was great concern that she could slip even deeper. There's Jessica, the little girl there on the left, and that's her very young mother and father before this happened with the baby. The rescue team made a plan, and this next slide is a drawing that appeared in the local newspaper of what they had planned to do. And basically what they were going to do is drill a large shaft, a shaft large enough for parallel to this well pipe, go just under, you know, below where she was, then go across and get her out that way, because there was no way to get her out from the hole itself. It was impossible. So they initially thought that it wouldn't take very long with modern drilling tools, but when the equipment arrived on the site and they began to drill, just a few feet under the ground, they hit solid rock. Hard rock. Really hard rock. So they had to go and get entirely different equipment and different rock drilling bits to begin drilling a different kind of hole. Meanwhile, Jessica is in exactly the same position. The tunnel then took 6 hours to drill down through the rock, which is still, I think, pretty good, consider all things considering. But the tunnel over to her took much, much longer because they couldn't drill it from the top. They had to do it with hand tools across and some powered tools, but they didn't have the same ability with the equipment. So the first 24 hours came and went. The second 24 hours came and went. And Jessica was in identically the same position. One leg up, one down in this hole. The third day came along, and this was nonstop work for 2.5 days. Many of the workers wouldn't leave. Meanwhile, this drama had become, out in the rest of the country, the most intensely watched news story of the year. In fact, the news had spread from Midland to across the country to across the world in those 2 days. Everybody in the world, nearly, who had access to a newspaper, radio, or television, the internet wasn't a thing in 1987, knew about baby Jessica. Finally, after 58 hours, some of the workers, again, wouldn't stop working. One of the smaller paramedics by the name of Robert O'Donnell was able to get over and finally wrestle baby Jessica free from this hole after 58 hours. She was rushed to the hospital, and when news broke out that she had been rescued, all of Midland, Texas, all of America, and indeed the whole world was ecstatic with joy because this one little girl's life that was in peril was saved. I'll show you a few other photographs. This is the paramedic And that's she doesn't look like very much there, but she's all wrapped up. But that's her just moments after they got her out from the well. And there's a picture of her in the hospital there, the black and white picture with her. And of course, those of us who were around at that time, President Bush and Barbara Bush there beside him, you can see that this was a big story. This is the President of the United States there beside baby Jessica. This was a big, big story. Well, I have some other details that I'm going to tell you about on this coming Sunday about what happened to Jessica after all of this. But for now, we'll stop there on the story. It's my theory that whenever something happens that gains the attention of a lot of people, and even the world in this case, there's something to be learned from it. If you observe it, beyond the simple facts of the case, there's something to be learned behind the scenes about what happened, if you think about it. Like, why was the entire world focused on this tiny 18-month-old little girl for 2.5 days, and actually many days after that, because there were reports about her recovery many days after and weeks after that? Was it because Jessica McClure was exceptionally gifted beyond any other children her age? No. Was it because she was cuter than any other little girls her age? No. Was it because her parents were millionaires and they could make this a world story by their money? No, no, and no. So why? Why this extraordinary attention on this one event in 1987? Well, I'm going to answer this question for my own observations and sentiments about it in five different ways with five different points, but we're only going to do one of them today. We'll do the other four next Sunday. So here's point number one. She became the focus of the world's attention because she was loved and valued and human. All humans have intrinsic value because, firstly, we're loved by God. We're made in His image and His likeness. So we are not the products of the universe. We are the handiwork of Almighty God who loves us. So we are not, we have an eternal spirit that's given to us by God. So we're more like a spirit that is housed in a body rather than a body that has a spirit in it. We know that because the spirit is eternal and the flesh is temporary. But we have value because God has given us value by giving the most precious gift inside or outside of the universe, and that is Jesus, His Son, who gave Himself a ransom for all. Those are general truths that all of us who are Christians know quite well and appreciate and understand. But I want to talk for just a few minutes more about, specifically about the value of children, not just people in general. Millions and millions of people showed great love and compassion and actually sent in money from all over the world, well over $1 million in those 2 days. I'll tell you more about that next Sunday. But just they had great compassion and love for someone that they had never even heard of, but they wanted to know about her and what was going to be the outcome of her life. I would suggest that if it had been a one grown 50-year-old man that this would never have become the story that it was. Certainly not an international story and the focus of the world's attention for many days. So what's the difference? The difference is innocence. We have a very strong, humans have a very strong desire to protect and preserve the innocence of children. Baby Jessica didn't deserve this. She was not guilty of anything. There was no reason for her to be enduring this extraordinary circumstance that she was in. This little 1.5-year-old girl, or it could have been a boy, it wouldn't have mattered what gender, but she was supposed to be running around in the yard, picking flowers, taking naps in the afternoon, helping her mother hang up the laundry, not in a deep, dark hole in the ground. It just wasn't right. It wasn't right. And the whole world wanted to see it right again. You know, every time Jesus mentions children, the reference relates to a childlike innocence that they possess. Let me give you a few quotes from Jesus. "Unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this receives me." That's in Matthew 18. "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise." Children and innocence goes together. Children matter to God. In fact, Jesus said that if anyone offends one of these little ones that believe in me, it would be better for him to have a millstone around his neck and cast into the sea. You think God doesn't care about children? He cares about children. And I would like to be able to say that all people have this intrinsic or instinctual love and value and desire to nurture and protect children. But we are living in a time when there is a hostility towards the singular God-given definition of family, a husband and a wife having children. That's God's pattern for the family, a husband and a wife with children. The feminist movement in America since the 60s has been largely anti-child, wherein women who choose to be wives and mothers who spend much of their time raising children is somehow a lower calling than the career woman. And while none of us are opposed to women having good jobs and getting paid properly for the jobs that they do, the Margaret Sangers and the Gloria Steinems of the world may advocate for a few legitimate concerns, but they are the same ones who are on the front lines of the epitome of an anti-child spirit in America. Their unequivocal position that defines the very movement, and for many of them, the final answer to freeing women from the burden of home and family when they find themselves pregnant, is to go to Planned Parenthood and destroy your own offspring. That's their answer. That has been their answer since the 60s. The most uncivilized and barbaric act that can be imagined remains legal and is performed every day in America by the thousands. Here's a profound study in contrast. During the time that Jessica McClure was in danger of losing her life and the whole world was focused on her rescue, there were, during the same period, 2.5 days, about 9,270 babies intentionally, purposefully murdered. Now, is that crazy or what? There is no sense in this. What is wrong with this picture? Where were the rescuers at when those 9,270 innocent babies were in danger of losing their lives? Where were they? Where were the men and the crews and the equipment and endless resources and millions of people worldwide showing compassion for these little children in danger of losing their lives? Where were they? You know, over the last 3 months, during the COVID-19, the last figure that I looked up yesterday, there has been in this country 117,000 approximately people who have died from this virus. Now, over the same 3 months, there's been 3,000 intentional murders of babies for 3 months, which equals 270,000, which is well over twice what COVID-19 has taken. And those weren't accidental. Those were intentional murders. Where are all the men? And I mean this literally, not mankind. I mean men. Where are all the men in our judicial system? Where are all the men in our Supreme Courts throughout the land who have failed year after year after year since 1973, failed then as well, and continue to fail to this day to protect the most innocent of human life? Male judges, incidentally, probably everybody knows this, vastly outnumber female judges from the Supreme Court all the way down to the lower courts. Vastly outnumber. So we've had, in my opinion, a bunch of sissified, girly men at the top of our country's leadership in this area who are afraid, apparently, of the wrath of a bunch of loudmouthed feminists for 47 years, to the tune of about 65 million murders to date. Every abortion doctor in the land is knowingly and consciously dismembering one piece at a time the children that he counts the pieces when they come out. They're murderers. They are guilty of murder and they should be sentenced to death. Where are all the fathers stepping up to their responsibility to love and protect both mother and child in this country? Where are they? Life begins at conception biologically. It doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or a Buddhist or a Hindu or an atheist. It is biological. We're not the ones that are defining when life begins. Science, biology defines when life begins. It doesn't matter what you think about it. It's fact. When the 23 chromosomes of the male join with the 23 of the female, you have a complete identity with all the components of human life. It's just a matter of growth from that point forward. That's fact. God has not forgotten about them. And God hates. I mentioned this the other day. There are things to hate in this life because there are things that God hates. And one of those things that he hates from Proverbs 6 is the shedding of innocent blood. God hates it. And I hate it. And you ought to hate it. This is what's happening in our country. It's been happening since 1973, and I don't want us to forget about it. I don't want us to forget about all the children that are being murdered every single day in this country and around the world. It is sad. Sad. I don't know how God has withheld his hand of judgment on this country this long. It must be only for the relative few among us who are faithful to him. Maybe that's the reason that he has withheld a complete and utter destruction of this country. Well, I'm sorry that this has been kind of intense, but I'm going to have the other four will be lighter subjects. But that's our lesson for today. Jesus shed his own innocent blood for us so that we could be rescued from certain death when we were in the deep, dark hole of sin without hope. Jessica McClure had zero hope of getting out of that hole, 22 feet down. Zero. She would have died there, unquestionably, if there hadn't been people who had the will to save her. God had the will and the power and the ability to save us. And he will bring us out of that hole. When you put your trust in him, when you put your life into his hand, he can rescue you. He's rescued me. He's rescued lots of other people in this room and across this country and across this world ever since 2,000 years ago when Jesus died for our sins. He came for us, and you can trust him. You can put your life into his hands. If we can help you in any way at this time, or you want to think about these things, we hope you will. And every time that the Lord tells you to do something, here's my advice. Say yes to it. Whatever it is, continue to say yes to the Lord. And your life will go well. You will be in the heart of God and be right with God if you continue to say yes to God. And at this time, we will stand and sing the song that has been chosen.